Oh, hello. This episode has a lot of me talking about Twitter. The app, the bird app, the gossipy rage bait bird app, how it sucks now and how it's harder to get value from it nowadays after the takeover of Elon Musk. I don't really go into explaining how, I don't know, I don't think so. I was worried that y'all might get bored. It's always a risk with these solo episodes. But, you know, we might just be all solo episodes from now. Who knows? It really depends on whether or not you listen and whether or not you check out the video version over at patreon.com/pinballmonkeys. Go over to the description to find all the linkies. And if you want me to talk about a particular thing, just follow me on the Instagram and drop me a DM. Yeah. There's something particular about this episode. Maybe I should have debuted it in the new season, but seasons are done by year for this podcast. So, by year and by style. So, next season is going to be a long time still. There's already too much talk. Let's go listen to me talk about Twitter. Here we go!
Four. Open your mind. Anything's possible.
It's just some stupid thing.
You gotta say stuff before he says stuff.
I know you're just being silly,
but it's fun.
So, let's talk.
You and me, right now, we're having it out. Let's go.
You ready?
Hello, welcome to the podcast. Do you like the new intro song? I did a new intro theme thing. Yeah. It's, what happened? I was watching a different podcast and I was watching the video version of it and they had a cool little intro and I'm like, dang, that intro that we have on this podcast is very old. It is so old. We've only had, okay, so the original season one, gone, you can't hear anymore. It used to be by Junior Senior. I just straight up stole it. And then I got this the last one, which was the 1, 2, 3. That one was a remix of an old song that took the top part of it and just changed do a little remixy bit. And then the version that has been on this podcast for the longest since season 3. Is the just the 1, 2, 3, 4 and then the so it's been for quite a long time since 20 blah blah blah. So I'm like, it's time for an update because I hear the theme for this other podcast. I'm like, yo, there is something about a really good theme that gets you going because the old themes sort of is a mellowing down, it's not really a hype up thing. I was watching that podcast and the theme came like, oh, I'm hyped to listen to what they have to say now. And I hope this intro theme did it for you. It was a lot of little clippies from stuff around. I'll be extremely surprised if you can clock where each voice clip is from. It's impossible, I think, because I don't know some of them. I know where I got it from. I just don't know the full context of what it is. I thought it fits the tone. So yeah, let me know how you feel about it. In the Instagram, you know where to find me. In the description of the podcast episode is usually a handle to my socials. So yeah, go there and do that. All right. First things first. Please tell me if I'm wrong about this, but the McFlurries don't flur anymore. Is that something y'all thinking about? Recently, a friend of mine ordered the McFlurry. And the first thing I noticed was, yo, this is a regular spoon. And it doesn't have the square hole. It doesn't have the square hole that old McFlurry spoons used to have. And I looked at the cup. It doesn't flur. Like, it's just ice cream in a cup. That's not McFlurry. That's just Mc... You know what I mean? Like, it's a sundae. What's the difference between this and a sundae? It's a shorter sundae? What's going on? It doesn't flur. guys, the idea of a McFlurry, or the word flurry is a, like a whipping up of stuff, right? Like a tornado or whatever. It's a flurry of wind. And before this, I didn't see the my friend ordered this via drive-thru, so we didn't get to see the process. But if you order it at the counter, usually, or back when, you can see the person making the McFlurry. They'll take the cup, they'll put the ice cream in there. It's always the basic vanilla ice cream as the base, classic. And then whatever toppings they put on. And then they will shove it into a spoon that attaches to the machine. The spoon is actually attached to the machine. And then they do like a shoving, and then they turn it on. And then the spoon will flur the cup. And then it will mix in with the thing. It will flur into the ice cream. And now you have a different product. You no longer have a vanilla ice cream. You have will have ice cream that's mixed together with mango or Oreos or M&M's, the worst one, or Milo, and they don't have that anymore. It's just a sundae with stuff with toppings. Why you call it a McFlurry? Why are you lying to me? You just because you're an immortal burger clown doesn't mean you get to deceive us humans. We're here. We know that McDonald's is unhealthy. It's food meant to lure children. And, you know, it has a toy when you buy the burger. We're not here because we're trying to work out. We're here to enjoy ice cream. That's already like a deceit. That's already you saying, hey, are you hungry? You should have nutrition. How about ice cream? Which is, you know, not nutritious. But already that, we are accepting of that deceit. You know, you suggesting to us that maybe ice cream can be part of your healthy diet. But then, you lie again by suggesting that this McFlurry is flurred when it isn't. It does no flur here, bro. Stop lying to me, Ronald. I'm watching you. Stop this bullshit. Okay. Also, one of the toys in the Happy Meal was a plastic thing. It stands up. And then there's a QR code, and then you scan it, and there's a game. If I need a phone to play the game, well, how old am I? Like, if I go to McDonald's and I'm excited about it, I am, I guess, what, 15 at the oldest? At the youngest, I mean. 15 at the youngest. So then I'm 15 and I'm there. Maybe I get the toy for a kid. Or I'm a child. Let's say I'm a child. Right, realistically, all the toys are for kids. Okay, let's restate the premise. If I'm excited about a Happy Meal, I'm not buying a Happy Meal because I'm trying to the portions are smaller, let me just get a Happy Meal. No. I'm a child, I'm excited about Happy Meal, I'm buying it. And then the toy requires me to have a phone. Maybe don't do that. Because then who is supposed to have a phone? You're 10 years old and you're supposed to have a phone with access to social media and like a porn application? What's going on? I'm saying this from ignorance, by the way. I don't really know if the toy requires a QR code. I just know that it's not a real toy. Like, it's a thing that says Just Dance on it, which means it's tied to a video game. Which means if you're going to connect it to a video game, you need to have a video game console. And you're at McDonald's and you're excited about a Happy Meal. You don't know how to operate a video game console. Not in the way that matters. You will think to yourself, I know how to put in the HDMI port and I know how to sign into Fortnite and buy myself V-Bucks. Okay, you may say that to yourself about yourself, little child. But you don't really know how it works. Like, if something fucks up, you're not going to go unscrew the thing and then remount the Wi-Fi card on it. You don't know. You don't know shit. Sit down, eat your cheeseburger, and stop it. And as for McDonald's, what happened to the giving books with Happy Meals? That was fun. That was useful. Now you're like, hey, kids, here's the toy. The toy is an ad for a video game. Tragic. Alright, the notes I have today to talk to y'all about is, I don't know if it's going to be interesting or fun, It's about Twitter. Ah, let's talk about Twitter for a bit. The social media that I use a lot as a consumer right now, Instagram. I would say it's Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Twitter. Yes, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Twitter. And it used to be that my most active social media channel was Twitter, and I guess it technically still is. I just really haven't used it in such a long time. Oh, Reddit, yes, Reddit, of course. I just haven't used it in such a long time. Not long, actually, since Elon Musk. And there's a reason for that. I really like Twitter. Twitter has a value that is particularly unique to Twitter. And when I say has, I really mean had. This was before Musk. Pre-Musk Twitter. Let me regale you with a tale. Twitter asks you, hey, what's happening? Or like, what's going on or something? And the thing. And it is good to find information about news that is happening. Twitter has been indispensable in the Arab Spring, where a bunch of countries got together and figured out how to, you know, to oust a despot in the most reductive terms. Twitter was super instrumental in organizing the Hong Kong protests. That was a gigantic big deal. And it's also, I use it, the first time I logged onto it, 2009, I think. Such a long time ago. And I was trying to learn what hashtags were. And one of the tags, the first hashtag I learned about was hashtag. Like, the hashtag was called hashtag because the volcano in Iceland erupted. And the news you got was from the people who were there, and they would tag it with that hashtag, and then people found out about which flights are cancelled, what they can do, blah blah blah. And it's such an important news source that it needed some features started to roll out that helped the news coverage feature, meaning people can tweet, but then how do you know if their tweet is like, if they're talking about something real, right? So Twitter rolled out something called the verification badge. So this verification badge tells everybody else on Twitter that, hey, I am actually me. So if I am, let's say, I am the Prime Minister of Malaysia, I have the verification badge. So when I announce something on Twitter that will affect an entire country's well-being, or financial situation, or literally their lives sometimes, because this Twitter service is also being used globally for like government announcements. Some announcements are faster than the government because Twitter is just the fastest way you can get information. But they need their information to be verified, right? You can't just have somebody pretending to be somebody and say something and then affect a bunch of people negatively. So they rolled out this verification badge. To get a verification badge is actually quite difficult. You need to, because a few friends of mine got verified, and the way they had to do that was you had to submit an application to be verified, and then you need to send them like links to either like a news item about you or like something that can prove that the handle is you, and government identification. You also have to show that. And this is just for people. So I'm assuming that for if you're a government institute or whatever, you need like a letterhead from the government, blah, 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 to say that you are for sure representing this institution that has the responsibility of disseminating important information in a very quick way, right? So that is the verification system, and that has been valuable in a lot of things where you find out somebody's missing, or sometimes when I want to know if an area is busy or not, or if the food is good, I look for Twitter and search by latest and see people tweet about such and such place, if there's a jam or what. Traffic jam, I mean. Traffic updates is important. People in New York will use that for whether or not the subway lines are like delayed or what, because Twitter will be faster than actual announcements there. So this is a super valuable system, and this has made Twitter a good place for me to find news, right? And then, or rather now, the verification system has been turned into this thing called, it's still called a verification badge, but now you can just pay for it. And what has happened is, if you used to have a blue check, you don't have it anymore. And if you want to keep it, you have to pay for it. And this has only happened because of the decision by Elon Musk to do this. And Elon Musk does this because he wants to make Twitter profitable. And he's doing it the way he thinks is best. And we're slowly finding out that he's an idiot about this. The decision to make verification badges something that you can pay for has completely ruined the value of verification. Because now it is not that you are that person, you will get the blue badge. It's just you paid. So now there's going to be more scammers because there's the verification system does not include proving you are who you are. We know this because I think last year when they first rolled out this 8USD blue check, a bunch of people got it and then pretended to be a company, and then they pretended to be a company, a pharmaceutical company, and said, what is it? Insulin is now free. And then it tanked the value of that company by billions. It's hilarious. That's going to continue happening. And now Twitter is not a good place for that. It's not only just that, though. Twitter is becoming worse and worse because the game of it is to... I'm sure if you search this podcast and Twitter, there's at least two other full episodes where I talk about how bad Twitter is. So yeah, right now, if you're on Twitter, it's just bad. It's just hard to like get your... Okay, here's the thing. I don't get verified information anymore from Twitter, but the For You tab that I get is actually really fun for me because it's now tweets that I interact with the most, which is tweets I retweet and tweets I like. And those are like jokes or news I care about, or updates on particular fields of industry I like or I'm interested in, and it's just that, and it's great. But my tweets don't get shown anymore because here's what happens with the other thing about blue badges. When you buy a blue badge, you don't just get verified, quote-unquote verified, which has no meaning anymore. The blue badge also prioritizes your tweets over other people's tweets, which means other people's tweets get deprioritized. That's what prioritizing means. When you prioritize something, you have to deprioritize others, right? So now, the people I follow don't see my tweets. This is a thing that I hear from people who follow me. And that is like, part of why I'm active in there is because I get engagement and I can pivot people into viewing other things and like getting interest in the other stuff that I do. I don't think being good at Twitter now has a lot of value because Twitter as a service now is kind of garbage because of that, the devaluing of verification and that the people pay to be seen. People paying to be seen, by the way, is really gross. I feel like if you're a blue check buyer, it's kind of disgusting. Like, it's like you pay so that your tweets get seen. Meanwhile, other people who don't have that can be seen anyway because their content is good. You get what I mean? The reason people aren't reading your tweets is because your tweets are dumb. You have horrible takes. And now they can just pay for that. You will very invariably see the blue check people, their tweets are the worst tweets. They're tweets that like they're rage bait, they're just takes that are wrong, and you see them more because they paid for the blue check. It's dumb. Elon Musk does not understand how like a social service is for. Like, anyway, I don't want to get too into that. But yeah, I wish there's another service like Twitter. Twitter used to be like succinct, fun, and it used to be valuable, and virality was organic, or as organic as it can be on Twitter, which is pretty organic, to be fully fair to what the service used to be. Now it's very shit. It's just to the toilet. And I'm trying to figure out where else I can go social media wise, where I can still do some silly output and get people to see it and pivot to my other stuff without using Twitter, I guess, because Twitter is just garbage right now. So ugh, what if I just tweet on Instagram now, just put text posts on Instagram? I've done that. Maybe that's the move. I don't know. Ugh. Eh. Okay. There is something deeply stupid about paying for verification. It's so sad. Like, the logic that I see being discussed, or like being... This is by Elon Musk. He claims that the people who used to be verified by Twitter are journalists who quote-unquote have their own agendas. And he's a free speech absolutist, allegedly, right? Like, he cares about free speech over everything. Okay, sure. But Twitter already has free speech. Like, there's no... You don't have to pay. Literally, it's free. Now you have to pay for $8. Dumb. But also, like, he's suggesting that the idea that the reason people are verified, and like celebrities and stuff are verified, is because they have clout in real life. People care about what they say in real life. And that is because they have value outside of Twitter. It is very rare that somebody on Twitter who's just good at Twitter is also verified because they're good at Twitter. That's not what Twitter is about. That's not why you get a verified badge. You are verified as a non-government entity because you are a person of import outside of this Bird app. You are a famous athlete that you work hard in being an athlete and gaining fans. You are an author who worked hard, published a bunch of books, and then people follow you for that. You are a performer. You are in the arts. You are an activist. All of this stuff, real world action and activities, means real world clout translating into the Bird app, and then you have to get it verified because people will start impersonating you and committing fraud and whatever. So it is a public good that the verification happened. Jack Dorsey, the original dude from Twitter, has said that Twitter ideally should be like a government, like a protocol, like a something you don't really have to pay for or own privately, like email, as in the email protocol, meaning the way you send emails, like you open whatever client you use, and then you send a thing, and then somebody else gets it in their inbox. That process is not owned by anybody. It's just free to use, right? He says, ideally, Twitter is that, because it is so important. But then you privatize it, this asshole has bought it and then does a bunch of stupid bullshit. I don't even want to get into like the narcissistic stuff that he did with it. Like, very recently the whole source code was available on GitHub, and you can look it up, and there are flags for if this tweet is by him, because he was annoyed that his tweet didn't get engagement in the Super Bowl. And then the 20% of the workers left on Twitter had to scramble. And they just did a flag that says, hey, this tweet is by Elon Musk, boost it up. Embarrassing. Dumb. Thinking that verification is something people want to pay for makes sense. Like, it makes sense if you only think about it on the surface level. Would you pay to be as famous as Beyonce and be verified and have all of the stuff you say be retweeted and whatever by a bunch of people and have influence? Like, you can just say, you know, Burger Town is my favorite Chipley, blah blah, and then people go, oh, 70 million views, and they start making memes. Maybe you would like that kind of influence, right? And you would put a money value onto that. But that doesn't mean that making it buyable is will retain its value. Putting a price on something immediately devalues it sometimes. And I would argue most times. Like, I remember being in an advertising agency, right? And then they were scrambling to do this presentation to recontextualize the branding. And then one is like, our service to the customers are these four prongs. We do service, we care about the customer, we safety, service, and then one of the last like prongs was love. Like, we love our customers, and this is why, blah, 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 blah. And the moment the slide says love, I'm like, this is bad. Do not pitch this. Please don't pitch this. Please don't tell people, hey, love is one of the things we're going to give the customers. You cannot put a price on love. The moment you put a price on love, you devalue it. You are saying love can be bought. You get what I mean? So a similar thing happens here. Like, yes, the verification is just a badge that you give to people, but it is of value, and it means somebody has clout. What they say will sway opinion, and yes, opinion can mean profit or like real world influence, but that doesn't mean you can buy it. You put a price on it, it devalues immediately. All the blue check motherfuckers on Twitter are the worst people, all of them. Well, I'm being reductive. Some people use it because there are extra features on it that they like. But even extra features, right, go against the philosophy of Twitter, I feel like. Twitter is fun because it's short. Like, a tweet used to be 140, and you had to be really, really succinct. You have to be really economical with your words. And I, as a writer, I value people who can say a lot of things in a small package that shows skill, right? When they doubled up the character count to 280, I already felt like, oh, this is, it's too much. And then the thread, I think threads are fine if you keep it still to 140 characters, then it could, each tweet needs to be meaningful. But now, one of the features of the paid blue check is that your tweet word count, character count is like 1,000 or something. Now every tweet is just a blog. Would I just read a person's blog as I'm scrolling through Twitter? No, man. I want bite-sized things. So yeah, it's bad. Disappointing. But I'm complaining about Twitter. Why? I think there's some lesson here. We need to know what we're buying, I guess, before we buy something. Listener, viewer, it's important for you to know what has happened to Twitter, because Twitter used to be an important, valid news source, genuinely, not just to find like viral hot takes by children that is amplified by people who like to get retweets. It is genuinely a place where you can find good content, find good people. I found work and good, meaningful connections via Twitter as well. There are people who found this podcast via Twitter. There's people who I haven't tweeted about this podcast in a while. People who found this podcast on Twitter. There's people who found my other work via Twitter, and I'm glad that happened. But now Twitter is really trash, just painfully garbage, and you need to know how to use it, I guess. There's now another verification badge, which is yellow, to say that you are who you are. Meaning, the blue is if you paid, but yellow is you actually are verified as a government entity or whatever. Isn't that dumb? You already had the blue badge. Just use the blue for everything. No. Too stupid. Okay. All right. Let's talk about something else now.
We are proud to interrupt this rambling nonsense to bring you an important message from our sponsors.
Hello, dear listener. Do you know about patreon.com/pinballmonkeys? I mean, you know about it. I talk about it every episode. But did you know that that's one of the only ways to support this podcast? This podcast costs resources, time and money, and also it costs a lot of energy. And as low as 5 ringgit a month, you can go over at Patreon and support this podcast. Just go to patreon.com/PinballMonkeys and do the little details over there. And as low as 5 ringgit a month, you get to enjoy video versions of this podcast, including extra content. You get to find out where Anwar has been hanging out, what he's been doing. You get to listen to cool audio sketches and behind the scenes content. And you can participate in a direct conversation about the future of Pinball Monkeys and the other projects that are related to Mental Pecah. So I think that's cool. You know, also you get to support art directly. Usually, you know, you give gigantic corporations this money, but why not support stuff directly? Support your local thing. Be part of the community. Thank you so much for the people who have already participated and pledged their hard-earned cash to this enterprise. These people are, of course, Aisha, Sarah Roger, Faza Fauzi, Arina, Amanda, Anwar, Nick Hanis, Daniel Imran, Alia, Sabrina, Mayamin, Safri, Zan Belik, Nick Dorville, Farid Zahir, Ilisar, Fairuz, Siti Fatima, and Lukman alias. If you want me to shout out your name in this ad break read thing, go over on Patreon and give us a little pledgy pledge. You can cancel anytime as well. I know times are tough, but that's why I'm doing this, because I I need legal fees. Thank you for your support. That's all.
Thank you for your kind attention. Now, despite popular demand, we return to the podcast.
I really, there's so many things that Elon Musk did that are stupid, but if I just talk about it myself, it'll feel like I'm complaining about Twitter as if I have a share in the company. I don't. So I won't like bore you with too much Twitter talk. I'll talk about this other thing in my notes. I went to change the battery on my car keys, the key fob. And I went to the watch place, and when they did it, they said, "We're only open until Sunday. On Sunday, we will shift to another place." And I don't know why they said it to me. This is the first time I went to the watch place. I go to the watch place because I was looking for a battery jam. I thought I just had to buy it myself and do it myself, but I couldn't find the batteries. Until I was very helpfully guided to this watch place. Like, oh, you want to look for battery jump? Go to the jump place. Oh, of course. I went there and I wave at the lady and I go, "Do you have a battery for a watch?" They're selling watches, a bunch of watches. And the lady goes, "Where is it?" And I go, "I don't have it with me." Actually, I do. I did have it in my pocket, but I said I didn't have a watch with me because it's true, I didn't have a watch. I had a key, so I pulled out the key, and then she took it and just went to the back, and I'm like, I didn't, what was the, and then she did all the work for me and tested it out, and like, oh great, this works. And then after I paid, she said, "We're only open it this Sunday," and I went, okay, and I left. I'm not sure what prompted that, like what is gonna happen Sunday. Does she think I'm gonna return and buy a watch now that she fixed my key? This person now has a good car key. Well, surely the next thing he will want is a watch. Nope, I already finished my transaction. I don't know why you think. People who sell watches also, what's going on? Why are you selling watches? Like, everybody has a phone now. Like, if you know what I mean? Like, phones are affordable, and if you can buy a watch or a phone, you'd buy the phone. It has a watch in it, a bunch of other features. You can listen to this podcast on the phone. But then they also sell watches. But it's not like a timepiece. Like, timepieces, I guess, a status symbol, you know, you see James Bond wear it and you think it's cool, so you want to wear it. Okay, cool, whatever, all right. But you have to wear a suit and then wear the watch. These are just like Casio and whatever, and it's for, I guess, a watch might be for kids, for so kids can learn to tell time, which there's no value in that anymore, really. Yo, clock hands, does that matter now? Like, I used to have to learn how to read a clock when I was a kid. This is 3 o'clock, this is 9 o'clock. Now you can just tell the clock to show you the numbers so that you don't have to read the clock. So is there value in that now? The clock hands? It's gonna be dead soon, I think. the idea of watch hands and clock hands. Because people can just look at it. Because when you communicate with somebody, you say the number. You say 3 or 4. And digital clocks is the easiest way for you to say what time is it. Just say the time. But you never say the clock hands. So I don't know. Anyway. So maybe it's for kids. Maybe it's for kids to tell time before they should have a phone. Because they shouldn't have a phone. Just because McDonald's are going to give you the Just Dance thing, don't get the phone. So maybe it's for kids. But if it's for kids, why is this person selling to me? I mean, it can be argued I may have a youthful face, but I don't think it's that youthful. Does she think I have children? But no, she went straight to, hey, if you want more of my business, we're gonna be somewhere else. Here's a fun thing. If she said, hey, it's gonna be open on Sunday, and we're shifting to this place. If she says that, makes sense. If she says, hey, on Sunday we'll be here because the next week we're gonna be moving to this place. If you have a problem, come see us there. I'll fix it for you, whatever. No. She just said, hey, we're closing on Sunday. We're moving. It's like an invitation for me to say, oh no, where? Tell me. I'll miss you. But no, that's not. Why? It's not the relationship we have. What's going on? Here's how I would have handled it. Here you go, sir. I fixed it for you without you asking. Isn't that easy? Nice. Well, the watch business isn't doing too great here. We're shifting to another place. If you have any other problems, you have any other cars, you got any other car keys, you got any things you need. If you have a key for like your house and you need to replace the battery, come to our new place that is this other place that's not here after Sunday. See you around. Thank you. Pleasure doing business with you. No. This person was like, here you go. I fix this for you. By the way, I will no longer be here on Sunday. We'll be moving. We won't be here. Well, yeah. I don't know. Maybe they were really trying to make a sale, but then in the middle of their sentence, they're like, oh, dang it. This person doesn't wear a watch even. He doesn't even have that watch tan. My dad has a watch tan. You know what I'm talking about? Like they wear a watch a lot and then just part of their wrist is lighter skin than the rest. It doesn't look great. I don't know why. I know why it doesn't look great. I mean, I don't know why they keep it so it tans. People wear watches. I think people who wear watches are either old or they're I don't know. They're just old, I think. Would I wear an accessory on my wrist? Yes. But it would be probably something like, yeah, I used to wear a fitness tracker back when I was trying to be fit. And then something happened. I went on vacation or something. And then I came back. And the thing ran out of battery and just died. So, RIP that. If I was to wear a thing, it probably would be a fitness tracker and not an actual watch whose purpose is only to tell time. Seems like a waste. With the technology we have, you know what I mean? If I'm trying to be hipster with it, maybe I'll wear like a watch made out of wood or some shit. That would be actually cool. Like a bracelet that's like wood, but also has a watch in there. That'd be cool. I maybe pay for that, but I'm not in that tax bracket yet. I'm in a lot of financial holes right now. So anyway, yeah, that's all I have for you this week. Was that good? I don't know. I need a companion here, and I'm trying. I've been auditioning people. They've been I did some recording sessions. Some of it worked, some of it didn't. And when I said some of it worked just now, I wasn't being fully truthful. It didn't really work. So, still trying to find people to help me out with this. And once I do find them, you'll know. Because, this is I cannot tell if this is good, and I have no idea if you're enjoying this. But the important thing is you did, as in you were listening. So that's good. I'll see you next week. Okay. Man, I hope you enjoyed the new intro song. I love you. I love you. Take care of each other. Be kind, please. And always remember that if you want some extra content, head over to Patreon, where there's an extra bit in this recording. I talk about a recent open house experience with some people I don't know if I would be best friends with them, and my experience there, and also the different brain modes of focus versus play, which might help you if you're somebody who find trouble getting into the headspace of becoming creative. So, yeah. As usual, if you can support me, please do. I do need the money. And thank you. And bye-bye.